For ease of listening, footnotes and scriptural citations included on the print version are omitted from this audio version. The nature of sin. The word sin is a religious term that indicates both willful, defiant acts that transgress divine law and the underlying condition of opposition to divine law from which these sinful acts spring. The law in this usage is a divine principle of basic right and wrong, not the law as the Old Testament ceremonial and sacrificial system. Sin separates man from God and is the root of all opposition to and conflict with Him. Sin is universal. The Bible is clear that every person born into this world is a sinner by birth and by choice. The first usage in Scripture of the word sin is found in Genesis 4:7. In the original Hebrew, the word translated as sin meant an offense. A number of other words are also translated sin in the Scriptures. For example, the Greek word harmatia means to miss the mark and implies an inward condition of sin out of which acts of sin originate. Asabia, also translated ungodliness, denotes a refusal to worship God as God. Parabasis has the meaning of going aside and refers to a definite breach or transgression of God's law. Other words translated sin express the condition of being unpersuadable, a refusal to hear, lawlessness, and unbelief. The topic of sin is mentioned hundreds of times in the Bible, starting with the original sin when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In that first act of rebellion against God, Adam and Eve deliberately chose to do wrong. As a result, the pure nature with which they had been created was corrupted, and their sinful nature was transmitted to all of their descendants. Thus, sin is both a state of being and an act of transgressing. Because of the sinful nature inherited from Adam, the entire human race is instinctively inclined toward evil from the moment of birth. As individuals grow and begin making conscious choices regarding their behavior, each one eventually chooses to do wrong and commits acts of sin. The Word of God describes sin as a transgression of God's law, and in 1 John 5:17 we read, "All unrighteousness is sin." Many specific evils are identified in the New Testament as sinful. Some of these include adultery, fornication, murder, thievery, greed, deceit, lust, envy, blasphemy, pride, homosexuality, malice, malignity, backbiting, spite, lying, disobedience, lack of mercy, vengeance, immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, hostility, heresy, unbelief, hypocrisy, and rebellion. It is important to recognize that there is a difference between acts of sin and actions that are the result of human behavior or infirmity rather than moral failure. To commit an act of sin, there must be both knowledge of the law of God and a willful and defiant breaking of that law. Such actions spring from the carnal nature. However, there may be other actions that spring from human frailties or limitations that are not themselves sinful. The physical, emotional, and mental capacities of man were affected by the fall, and at times strain, exhaustion, disease, or mistakes in judgment can result in offenses or other manifestations of human weakness. Age-related infirmity or dementia can also distort judgment and result in actions for which the individual is not responsible. The Bible also makes a distinction between sin and temptation. Temptation itself is not sin. Yielding to temptation is sin. God does not forsake His own because they are tempted. Rather, He gives the grace and strength to stand fast in times of temptation. Scripture teaches that it is possible for individuals to live lives free from sin, stating unequivocally that whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Zacharias, speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, spoke of God's promise that we might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Jesus told the woman taken in adultery, "Go and sin no more." He came to break the power of sin, for we read, "He shall save his people from their sins." Paul asked the question in Romans 6:11-18, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace?" His emphatic answer, "God forbid," is clear evidence that it is God's will for every Christian to live victoriously without sin. While a victorious life without sin is possible, the Bible is clear in affirming that the relationship with God can be severed. Individuals who have been born again can choose to go back into sin, the same as Adam and Eve in their righteous state chose to commit sin. The prophet Ezekiel addressed this issue when he said, "When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die." However, it is possible for one who has turned away from God to be restored again to salvation and a right relationship with God. We read, "If he," the wicked, "turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he hath robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die." Scriptures warn that the wages of sin is death. Sin that is not repented of will lead to eternal separation from God and eternal punishment. Counsel for ministers. When we are counseling others, it may be difficult at times to distinguish between actions that spring from the carnal nature and those that are done as a result of human infirmity. It is important to remember that sin is an act of deliberate enmity and rebellion towards God. As ministers, we must point individuals to the vital necessity of being honest with themselves and with God, who alone knows the heart. If a person has committed an act of willful defiance toward God, he must not rationalize or excuse his behavior, but acknowledge and repent of his wrongdoing before God. We must take care that references to the flesh are based upon an accurate understanding of the word itself. The word flesh, translated from the Greek word sarx, can refer to human nature with its physical, mental, and emotional limitations, or it can refer to the sinful or carnal nature. Paul uses sarx at times when he was referring to nothing more than the human condition. In other places, such as throughout Romans 7 and 8, sarx bears strong moral implications. In those instances and many others, the sinful nature is contrasted with the spiritual nature which has been purged from sin. When the word is used in a moral sense, the flesh can be purified through entire sanctification. On the other hand, when used to describe the human condition, the flesh is describing the fact that we remain mortal beings subject to physical, mental, and emotional limitations, which often have no moral bearing. We teach that infants and children who have not reached the age of accountability are covered by the atoning blood, the same as we who have come under its pardoning influences through repentance and the exercise of faith in God. By the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men, Romans 5:18. These who were innocent of acts of defiance to God have not yet rejected the free gift offered to all and are therefore covered by the blood. If they die in that state of innocence, they are immediately received into the presence of God to enjoy his fellowship forever.